Okay, we're going to be in Hosea tonight. So find that and stand with me. We'll read our text, Hosea chapter 10. For those of you who are guests with us tonight, we're going through the book of Hosea on our Wednesday night service. And so we started in chapter 1, and now we're in chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Verse number 1. Our verses are verse 1 through 4. Okay, Hosea chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. Notice what Israel does with their fruit. He hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Okay, now verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. This is God. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, this is what Israel's going to say about all of this. We have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? So in other words, Israel's going to see the consequences, what they're going through, and then they're going to acknowledge that why they're going through that is because of what they did. We did not fear the Lord. We brought this on ourselves. Verse 4. They have spoken words, swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. And that's the title of our message tonight, Hemlock in the Furrows. So let's pray. Father, one more time, we ask your blessings. We need to hear from you, so we pray for grace. We pray for your blessing and leading us in the way you'd have us to go. Help us to have a heart that's open. Speak to us where we need to be touched. Bring conviction to our soul in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. One thing we need to acknowledge is that God has given us a great opportunity to serve Him at Western Hills Baptist Church, and really in our life. If you think about your life in times past, you have been given many opportunities to serve the Lord. Now, opportunities don't always turn into times of serving God. As a matter of fact, what opportunities often, because of our flesh, because of our tendency, what they often turn into is missed opportunities, where God has given us a chance to respond and to obey and to live for Him. But what ends up happening is we end up going our own way. We end up ignoring what God wants to do in us. We end up ignoring or neglecting the opportunity that we have. And by going our way, we missed that opportunity. And how many times in life do, as we move forward in life, that we look back and we think, man, I had an opportunity and I missed that opportunity. God gave me an opportunity and I missed that opportunity. All of us tonight, you have an opportunity. Amen. You have an opportunity to respond to God. Every time you're at church, every time the Word of God is open and God's Word is declared by the man of God, we all have an opportunity to respond to what God wants to do in us and through us. It's a great truth about His Word. He speaks to us. And then through that, He guides us in our path and He teaches us the way He wants us to go. He gives us hope in our decision to follow Him. But often it turns into a missed opportunity. Why? Because we don't listen to Him. We don't respond. We're not humble to receive what He wants to do. We're distracted. We have other things on our heart. We're not just thinking about other things. We're also driven and motivated by other things. And so when God has given us those opportunities, they're missed because something else has our attention. Well, that's Israel. Can you think of a nation that had more opportunity to serve God and love God and know God than Israel? I mean, in the history of Israel, God actually gave them the Ten Commandments by terms of agreement to say, you'll be my people and I'll be your God. Yeah. I mean, this is a relationship between a nation and God. What an opportunity. But yet it didn't take very long before they had, with that opportunity, neglected and rejected and built and made false gods and then attributed the blessings of God to those false gods, going away from Him. So with that opportunity was a missed opportunity to do great things through the work and hand of God. And I feel sad about that in our lives. That so often we're like Israel. Because God wants to work through us, and so much opportunity is lost because we won't listen. We won't listen. So for Israel, look what God says. In verse number 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself, so there's been fruit that's being produced. And then it says, according to the multitude of his fruit. Now let's pause there for a minute. Let's acknowledge that Israel was a fruitful nation. But the reason they were fruitful was because God made them fruitful.
Right.
They had been given blessings from God. They had grown and they had become strong because God grew them and God made them strong.
Right.
Well, any strength that we have in our life, it ought to be attributed to God.
Right.
Let's just think about finances. And we're blessed because we're Americans. Amen. But God blesses our finances. But often what ends up happening is we attribute the blessing of God in our finances to something else. And that's Israel. Israel is blessed of God. But they didn't attribute the blessings that they had received from God back to God. Look what happens next in verse 1. It says that after the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased, look what it says, the altars. And you would assume, You might assume, or it could be assumed, that these altars are altars for God. But look what it says next. According to the goodness of his land, in other words, the fruit, they have made goodly images.
Yeah.
So what was happening is they were being blessed, and they were increasing, and they were prosperous. But instead of attributing the blessings back to God and giving glory to God for those for that prosperity, they were making altars and they were making goodly images, and they were attributing the blessings they had in their life to those images.
Right.
Being distracted away from the true God who blessed them. Look what it says in verse 2. Their heart is divided. That really tells the story right there, doesn't it? You know why we experience so many of the trials, not just trials and temptations, but the struggles that we have in life? It's because of that phrase right there. Because like Israel, our heart is divided. Israel, as they're being blessed and prospering and bearing much fruit, they're attributing that prosperity to false gods, but at the same time, it's like this consciousness, this feeling that they're having that maybe something isn't right. You ever have that feeling like something isn't right? It's like Israel as a nation, they're attributing these blessings as coming from false gods, but down deep inside, something doesn't feel right. Well, what is it? Well, we're neglecting the true God, whom they knew, whom they had a relationship and covenant with. And so what they had decided to do was, instead of destroying the false idols and gods that they had erected and attributed blessings as coming from, they decided they would do both. They decided that they would bring or attribute blessings as coming from God, but also in addition to that, as coming from these other idols. They were divided. Their loyalty was divided. Their heart was divided. They wanted both sides. How many? It seems like we've been talking about this a lot lately, where we're holding on to both sides of the rope and we're thinking we can do both. Well, that's Israel. They're divided, and what they're thinking is, we can attribute these blessings as having come from these idols whom we love because we lust after them, but yet we don't want to forget about God. So we'll go ahead and give glory to him too. But you know what's amazing about that? Is Israel might comfort themselves with a false kind of assurance and comfort, but with God, he doesn't see it this way. God does not receive half-hearted worship and glory. He doesn't receive it as coming from a heart that is fully devoted to him. You want to know how God sees their spirit? Well, he says it. Look at verse 2. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found, what's that next word? Faulty. Here's what God says. God says to Israel, you think, to the nation here, you think that you can attribute my blessings as having come partly from the worship of these false idols, and you think you can give me glory at the same time. But here's what you need to understand about all of this. All of it is faulty. Right. None of it is right. All of it is wrong. That's what he's saying. He receives none of their praise. He receives none of the glory they're trying to attribute to him. I think that's not surprising to us. But look what God said next. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. What's that mean? It means God doesn't just not accept it. He is actually going to destroy what they had erected to replace God. God says, I'm going to break those down. I'm going to destroy those. And what you have attributed as coming, the blessings that's coming from me as having come from these idols, I'm going to destroy them. Look what he says next. Because when all this takes place, for now shall they say. So in other words, he's looking forward in the future. After these things transpire, Israel's going to look back and they're going to say these words. We have no king because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? So the idea is this. Invasion is coming. The Assyrians are coming. Israel's going to be destroyed and taken into captivity. Why? Because they neglected God. They were attributing the blessings that God had put in them and the protection that God had given to them as coming from something else. And God's going to break all of it down. And then whenever this invasion takes place, in the aftermath, Israel's going to look back and they're going to say, this happened because of what we did. Right. It's almost as to say they'll have no excuse, right? It's to look back and to say, you know, all this stuff that I'm going through right now, I mean, I actually know why this is happening. You know, listen, it's true that there are times when we go through things and we don't know why God's letting it happen. We honestly don't know. But here's what God is saying about Israel. That when this happens, they're going to look back and they're going to know why it's happening. Look what he said next. Look at verse 4. They have spoken words, swearing falsely in making a covenant. So Israel had made covenant with God, but listen to this. Their covenant, their promise, their commitment to God was false in the sense that it wasn't a genuine commitment. It was like they're double-minded even in their commitment. Like divided. So even knowing something isn't right and wanting to make commitment, actually verbalizing it, speaking, so that there's a commitment, it's outward and it's verbal, and it's almost like as though we're raising our hands and saying, I commit myself to you and I give myself to you, but down deep, and God knows the reality of our commitment, that it's false. Why? Because there's division. You know what's amazing is God knows when you're divided. Right. Think about this with me. God knows when you're divided in your soul. What's that mean? It means if you're saved and God is guiding you, he's convicting you and leading you through the work of the Spirit in you, which, by the way, if you're saved, the Spirit indwells you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he lives in you. That means your spirit and God's spirit communicate. And what God does through the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, He speaks to you. You used to be not saved. And your flesh doesn't love God. Your flesh doesn't have an interest in God. Your flesh wants its own way. As a matter of fact, your flesh demands its own way. And so when God is leading you to go His way through the work of the Spirit, your flesh at the same time is pulling you the opposite way. So that there's a conflict that's going on the inside of you every day. The conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And so what God is teaching us here is that what Israel was trying to do was to be in the flesh and pretend as though that they're in the spirit. Let the flesh be in control of your life, but think that you can have the blessing or the work of God happening in you at the same time. In other words, yes, I could submit to God at the same time I'm indulging in my flesh. You can't do that. Amen. Your heart is divided, and here's what God says about that. You've went false. This is a false understanding about how your relationship with God works. Right. And so what ends up happening is we indulge in our flesh, but we tell ourselves we're okay with God. So we're like living in the flesh, doing whatever we want to do because that's what our flesh wants to do. But then we go to church and we go to the altar and we say, God, I love you and I want to serve you. I want to be committed to you. And we raise our hands and we just commit ourselves to God and maybe recommit ourselves to God. But then we go home and it's totally different. It's something entirely different because we're indulging in the flesh. Here's what God says about that. You're divided. But your division doesn't mean that you're partly right with God. Your division means you're entirely, completely wrong with God. Amen. And there's a warning connected to this. Because I promise you, there's not from this end of this auditorium all the way to this end, all the way to that end, that isn't affected by this. All of us. The warning connected to this is in the last part of verse number 4. Whenever we live our life in the flesh, but we're telling ourselves that we're serving God at the same time, God sees it with a farming illustration. As a matter of fact, He says judgment is going to spring up in your life because you're sowing these fleshly things and these evil things and these sinful things in your life, and judgment in your life is going to spring up. And then He says it like this. It's going to spring up in your life like hemlock in the furrows of the field. Hemlock. Now that doesn't really touch us unless you know what, first of all, hemlock is. So hemlock is a poisonous plant. Hemlock, it can be between 2 feet and 4 feet tall. Sometimes even taller than that. It gives the image, it looks sort of like parsley on its leaves. The shaft of the plant is hollow. And so you would sow the field. The furrows is the plowed portions of the field where the seeds would go. And so you would plow the field and the furrow would be the trench that the seed would go. And so while the seed is being planted, because there is an idea or a thought that what we're doing is we're doing good. We're sowing good and we're planting good, but our heart is divided. And so because our heart is divided and we're indulging in the flesh, along the way with the good, hemlock is being inserted in the furrow, in the field. so that when harvest time takes place, there'll be wheat that crops up, but amongst the wheat is hemlock, which is poison. So think of this with me. Let's say a farmer plows the field and there's seed that's planted, and then the seed, you know, it produces and it's harvest time, and one of the farmer's children is out in the field and he's playing and he sees this plant that looks different than all of the other plants, not realizing what it is. And so he picks it thinking it's an interesting, you know, weed. It's an interesting plant. And he notices that the stalk of this plant is hollow and it could be used as a whistle. So he strips all of the leaves off of this stalk, and he places the end of the stalk in his mouth to blow on it like a whistle, but suddenly starts to feel sick. So sick that he collapses in a heap on the ground. He's immediately rushed to his mother and placed in her arms as she coddles him, and he suffers. She's trying to understand, what has happened to my child? And in the midst, watch, in the midst of the suffering, the child dies in her arms. And here's why it happened. Because there was hemlock in the furrows. Let me give you another one. Let's say that there's a mother of the wife of the farmer who it is her role, and she understands her role, to feed the farmers. And so she is making meal after meal. She would go into the field to gather the wheat. And in the process of gathering the wheat, she sees a plant that to her looks like parsley. Thinking that it's parsley, she gathers it up, determined that she'll garnish the salads with this parsley. Takes it in, washes it, and begins to pull the leaves off to get it prepared to go with the meal. And just to taste the taste of the parsley, pops one of those leaves in her mouth and chews it and swallows, and immediately begins to feel terribly sick. So that she collapses in a heap on the kitchen floor. Hemlock in the furrows. Here's what God is saying to us. That in this life, you and I, we do things that we think nobody knows about. We do things and nobody sees it but us. It could be that there's a sin that we've indulged in and we actively indulge in. And it could be along the way that as we're indulging in it, we think that nobody knows about it and nobody sees it. But you know, the reasoning doesn't stop there. You know, our deceitfulness of our flesh, mercy. We convince ourselves it's okay. And God is trying to get our attention. This is a sin. This is wrong. You're indulging in the flesh. God speaks to us. He's trying to guide us in His path, but we ignore that touch. And we continue to indulge in that act of the flesh. And here's what along the way causes us to maybe be affirmed in our sin. I hope you're getting this tonight. Here's what causes us to be affirmed in our fleshly sins that we don't think anybody knows about, is that we also haven't suffered any consequences. There's not been anything that's happened. Like, not only does not nobody know about it, it's not really hurt me at all. I mean, you might even have been doing some of these things for a while. And it's not seem as though along the way there's not been any consequences. The reason why you've allowed yourself to think that way is because there's a principle in the Bible that you don't understand. And it's the principle called, Jesus speaks of it, it's an Old Testament principle. It's the principle of sowing and what? Reaping. You don't understand that principle. But I want to help you understand it tonight, and I need four helpers. Okay, so you two guys, you come up here. Kaylin, you come up here. Uh-oh. They're there? Oh, okay, they're hiding. We're going to have a noodle war tonight. No, not really. They'll be tempted. I need one more helper. Let's get somebody over here on this side. Any volunteers? Brother David, come on up. Okay, come on over. Let's spread out. You hold right here on this end. Okay, you hold this one. Okay, so here's what we need to do. I need it to look like an arch like this. So you hold one side, and then Kaylin's going to hold the other side. So it'll be like this. You'll hold that in your left hand, your left hand. And so Kaylin, you'll hold it like this, so it'll be like an arch. Okay, so you have to turn around, hold it with your other hand, hold it with that hand. Okay, now you hold this one, and we'll make it into an arch. And Ethan, you hold it here. Whoops, you got to hold it strong. Just do your best. And then you hold this one, and then you hold that end. Okay, do we see it? Now, I was trying to think of a way we could make hills. And there's our hills right there, okay? Now, what we're going to understand with this illustration right here is how sowing and reaping works, okay? Whenever you're on this side of the hill, this in life is like chapters in life. And we all go through chapters of life, right? Some of us have been through a lot of chapters, you know? Seasons, let's say it that way, seasons of life, right? And so in a season of life, along the way, we do things. And when we do things, what we're doing is we're sowing, our actions are sowing seed in life. Now, this is just a basic principle when it relates to reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping. That when you sow something in life, do you reap it right away?
No.
I mean, this is farming 101. Which most of us probably haven't been farmers, but it's still, this is pretty basic. You're not going to reap it right away. But when you get to the other side over here, you'll start reaping. You see? And then you'll continue to sow. And whenever you get to the other side, that's when you'll start reaping. You don't reap right here. Whenever you're right here, what are you reaping? What you sowed back here. But whenever you get here, what are you reaping? What you sowed right here.
Amen.
And whenever you get over here, what are you reaping? Well, in some things, you're still reaping what you did here. In some, you're still reaping here, but primarily, you're reaping what you did right here when you get here. So what ends up happening is in life, we live in the flesh, and we think that because we're sowing this and we've not had any consequences, that it's okay, and we're going to be fine. I mean, I've done this a lot, and I've been this way a lot, and I can do this, and I can serve God, and it'll be okay, and our heart's divided. And because there's not been any consequences, we think, well, it's fine, and it'll be fine, and it'll be okay. But here's what you don't understand. That while you're living in the flesh, and living life your way, and neglecting to obey God, God has said that judgment will spring up in your life like hemlock. So the implication is this, that while you're sowing in the flesh, hemlock is being planted also with your actions. So although we go to church and we do what we do, we read the Bible, but we're also living in the flesh and we're sowing good things, but also hemlock is being planted in the furrows. And we think, well, we'll be fine. But then you wait. Because after a process of time, and God only knows when this happens, there'll be a harvest that'll take place.
Amen.
And when the harvest takes place, what you're going to find is that there's going to be hemlock. And that hemlock is going to be poison. Poison that's going to affect your life, and watch this, it's going to affect the life of the people you love.
Amen.
You know why this touches me, Brother Chuck? Touches me, like convicts me. When I was writing this sermon this week, God got into my soul. I mean, I was convicted. Because there are things that our flesh likes, and God is trying to get our attention about it. And we think along the way that it's not hurting us or it's not affecting us because our flesh deceives us. Our flesh is, by the way, another word for our flesh is our heart, and our heart is deceitful above all things. And so we convince ourselves it'll be fine. And even if there is a consequence later, we tell ourselves, well, you know, I'll just deal with the consequence. But But here's how God struck my heart. Is that it might be that one day in the future, because of what I've done in secret, my kids will be affected by it. Why? Because in my life, there's hemlock. And my kids have been affected by the poison that I planted in my life. What a warning this is. What a blessing this is, and a conviction that touches us to say, listen, let's not live our life thinking that we can be one hand here and one hand here and be divided, and God's okay with that. And because we haven't got caught or there's not been consequences, that things will be fine, but it's not the case. And what needs to happen tonight is we need to evaluate our life as it relates to our walk in the Spirit and our indulging in the flesh. Are we listening to God? Are we letting God have our heart? Are we walking in the flesh? What is God speaking to us about? And let Him motivate us to submit, to yield ourselves to Him. And this is a powerful truth tonight. Amen. And the warning is so potent and it's so clear that we would be absolutely foolish tonight to not listen to what God is trying to tell us about what we're doing in the flesh. Amen. And what we think that's happening in secret. It's not going to affect our life. No, it does. Because hemlock is being sown in the furrows of our life. And you might not experience it now, but you will. And you know what's going to happen when you start experiencing the hemlock, the poison that's in your life? You're like Israel, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I know why this is happening. I know why this is in my life right now. Because I rejected God. It's because, watch this, I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity on a Wednesday night to confront with the work of the Spirit of God and His power to overcome the flesh. Because He's speaking to me. And by the way, He empowers us. Amen. And I could have submitted to Him. I had an opportunity, but I didn't. Because I thought I'd get away with it. And there's hemlock. It's convicting, isn't it? Did you know there's a pretty neat thing too about this? You're like, why are they going to stay up here the whole time? Yeah, I think so. Watch this. There's hope. There's hope. Amen. Watch this. We've sown the hemlock. We've sown in the flesh, and we're at church on a Wednesday night about right here. We maybe haven't felt the full brunt of the consequences yet, but we've been sowing the hemlock. We've been in the flesh, friends, and God convicted us. And with genuine conviction and the work of the Spirit in our soul, at invitation, we came to the altar and we surrendered. We submitted. We said, God, I yield, and I'm not just going to do it with words. With my heart divided, I want accountability. I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to set up an accountability system so that I can, with your strength and with your power, obey you, acknowledging that this is sin. And what a blessing that would be, right? Amen. And so the decision is made. Hold it high, Caitlin, if you don't mind. There we go. Your arms are getting tired, huh? So you made a decision for God right here. And God, you start sowing blessings. But then you get right here and guess what you're reaping? Listen now. Guess what you're reaping when you get right here? You're reaping what you sowed right here. Did you know that you're still going to reap what you sow? Amen. Even if you get your heart right tonight? And what ends up happening in Christians' lives is they get right with God and then things are still hard. As a matter of fact, you still feel like you're losing. As a matter of fact, sometimes you get right with God and it feels worse than when you weren't right with God. Can I encourage you that it's not going to be like this forever?
Right.
Because you've been sowing righteousness, you just keep sowing righteousness. Because whenever you get about right here, the blessings will come.
That's right.
Amen. So the answer is what? Stay faithful. Keep sowing righteousness. God helps us with this. And by the way, we need help with it, don't we? Thank you. Y'all did great. Give them a hand. Just put the things on the ground right there. And then you can go be seated. Yeah, just right there on the ground. So tonight, what we need to do is we need to do a couple of things. We need to acknowledge that we've been in the flesh. Like, you're saying that pretty declaratively, Pastor. Yep. Because I'm pretty sure there's nobody in here that isn't affected by this in some way. Amen. We need to acknowledge, you know, Pastor, there's some areas of my life I've been in the flesh. And so because of that, hemlock is being inserted in the furrows. And I don't want that anymore. God's convicting me. I don't want that anymore. So we need to get right with Him. We just need to repent. We need to say, God, I need your help. I want to overcome this. And I know you're convicting me. You call it sin, but here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to call it sin too. Amen? Amen? Do that tonight. You'll start the process of sowing righteousness. So then number two is whenever, as you're living for God and the consequences seem to start coming in and it seems like this is harder than it should be because I've surrendered to God. Why is it this way? That we would remember to be faithful and remember to continue to be under the Word of God and to be sharpened and to let God to continue to work in us and speak to us about whether it's a sin in our life or things that need to be, touched by the Lord or changed, and continue to come to the altar and continue to submit and yield ourselves to God. And what will happen is God's blessings will begin to pour into our life by way of the fruit of the Spirit. You just got to be faithful. Amen. You just got to keep going. So the encouragement is two things tonight. It might be that we need to repent. And number two, it might need to be we just need to keep being faithful and trust that God knows. Amen. And if I just keep sticking in there and keep sowing righteousness and being obedient to God and submitting myself to Him, then He'll take care of all of it. He will. If you're thinking about maybe not responding to this tonight, I mean, I'm talking about like if God's convicting your heart and you're thinking about not responding, I want to encourage you to reconsider that. And just think about what he said tonight. That is Hosea, God saying through Hosea to the nation of Israel, judgment's going to spring up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. You might not feel that judgment right now, but you will. And I don't think it's what we want. Amen. It's not what we want. Father, tonight, what a blessing to be in your house. Lord, I think about the principle that we talked about and the need that we have to be confronted in our life because of our flesh. And Lord, maybe our misunderstanding of sowing and reaping, or maybe our deceptive heart to tell us that we can live a divided life like this, indulging in the flesh and worshiping God at the same time. I pray for conviction. Lord, you've already convicted my soul, and I'm thankful for that. I just want to tonight ask that you would do that in all of our lives and help us to do these things, to acknowledge your work in us, to repent, turn ourselves to you, to see the sinfulness of our flesh. And then, Lord, for those that maybe just don't understand, because they've repented, why they're still going through this stuff, then it might be that there's just some reaping that's taking place of things that have been sown. And the answer is not to throw in the towel or to give up or to quit trying, but to continue to steadfastly walk in your Spirit and to trust your work in us, Lord. And we trust your promises. We just want to be single-minded in our heart as we serve you. So please help us with that. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit. I pray for grace tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. God's worked in your heart. The altar's open. You say, Pastor, I need that. My flesh is strong. It's been strong. I've been fighting this. And I need to get this right. The altar's open for you.